redeeming the time. this past week, as you know, it's Christmas, right? You know, we it's New Year's, and it's almost like we're in between. Christmas happened, New Year's hasn't happened yet. Almost like we're waiting for it to happen. We're in this in-between time. And that's what I've been thinking about just as we went through the Advent season. This season was I had a very good time during Advent season, personally, as my personal time with God, and really been thinking about what all God's done in the first Advent, but I've also been thinking about the second Advent to come. And actually, almost like we're living in this in-between time. So what do we do in between the first and the second? And what are we supposed to be living like? And actually, I was talking, I still can't remember who I was talking to. I was talking about how, you know, you start to think about, like, you have less years ahead of you than you have behind you. You start to realize time is a very precious commodity that you have. If you're younger, yeah, I got lots of time. But as you get older, you start to realize the reality of that. And so that's been pressing on me. So what's happened is during this week, God reminded me of this theme, redeeming the time. I'm going to read a couple different scripture references where Paul writes to the churches and tells them about redeeming the time. And God reminded me of that scripture reference. And he's done it over the years. Over my walk with him at different times, he's reminded me of this. And so I feel I'm supposed to remind us together of this theme. God would speak to us during this time. So let's read the scriptures. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 through 6, and Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16. And it reads, first one, Colossians says, continuing earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each other. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Here in these two, Paul's writing to two different churches, and they're similar. Actually, the two different epistles, Colossians and Ephesians, have a lot of similarities. And he's giving some practical instructions of how to live in this age while living for the next. And so, and one of those is redeeming the time. And Paul says, as we're walking, walk with wisdom. He's saying, as you live this life, as you're living out this life, as you're going to work, as you're going to school, as you're going to Big Y, as you're going to Stop and Shop, whatever you're doing, as you're living your life, he says, be wise in redeeming the time. So when he says redeeming the time, what does he mean by time? Now this word time is, he's not just saying tick, tick, tick. We're going to talk about that. He's talking about time in regards to an appointed time. The word here means it's an appointed time. It's an appointed season, even maybe. Even it could be seen as like the season of our lifespan. It's an appointed time. And what it means is it's a moment of time. It's a season of time that is characterized by some things. It's at a destined time. It's an ordained time. An appointed time that God's overseen it. It's God's timing on it. Just like we during Advent, when in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son. Okay, and so what it is? It has this idea that it's a convergence of timing of circumstances of people places, and it becomes a point in time where you got to make a decision. You have to take action, or even inaction is an action. Realize that. But that's what it is. He's saying, redeem the time. Redeem that time. Redeem that opportunity that's presented itself. In the NIV, it says, make the most of every opportunity. That's its translation. Make the most of every opportunity. So that's what Paul's talking about. He talks about time. It could be like Jesus at the woman at the well. It's a moment of time he actually meets this woman he doesn't know. And he actually shares with her the gospel. And her life changes and her town changes. Or it could be the season of time, the 3 years of the apostles. That's an appointed season that they're to walk with Jesus. It can be taking care of an aging parent. It could be taking care of a child. There's a season of time. It can be a conviction in the middle of a sermon. Or a song. And the word, this little phrase, holds all things together. It's a moment of time when God breaks in from eternity. He comes into that moment and you know God is doing something and He's encountering you. That's what He's talking about. Redeem those times. When he says redeem, what does he mean by redeeming? He says, make the most of it. But the word actually can mean it's rescue it. Rescue that opportunity from it being lost or wasted. So he's saying we have these moments in time that God ordains. Our lifespan. Moments, seasons. We're called to rescue them. Save them from being lost or wasted. Or actually, spare them from being diluted. Sometimes it's not just losing them completely, but we dilute them from their value to us. And Satan comes and actually gets us caught up in a different way. We're going to talk about a little bit more about that. But that's what he means by redeeming it. He's saying rescue it. Now, why would Paul say this to them? Why would Paul be writing this to the church? Probably because they were missing some things. Also, realize that they were from a culture of, they believed in this thing called fate. And so they believed they were within that belief system they were coming out of. They're still coming out of that. And part of this, realizing that they had no control over what was happening. They had no input over it. They were like slaves to fate. Whatever was going to happen was going to happen. And they had no input on it, no part of that, no partnership with it. And here Paul writes to the churches and he says, no, God's sovereign. Fate doesn't control things. God oversees things. He's working all things. He's holding all things together, working all things to the end of his purposes that he wants. And he says, you, the church, me and you, not just them, but me and you. He's writing, he's saying, you're partners with God now. You're his workmanship, to be in partnership with God, to be in a relationship with him, joining him in what he's doing. So he's saying, with that, you're going to have these moments. And with that, you're called on to rescue them for all the value that they are. It's a stewardship we're being given over some, one of the most precious things we can ever be given. Time. Time. What I'm going to do is, with stewardship, what comes with stewardship? You ever going to be held accountable? Yes. God's given us a stewardship of our time. And there will be a moment that God will call us to account for how we've used the time, how we've redeemed the time. And Paul wants them to realize that. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a moment to talk about some things about time itself, some aspects of time, this thing we call time, this thing we're a steward over. And I want you to think about, when I'm sharing these, think about not just individually, how they relate to you individually, but we have to actually see these, because Paul's writing to a church. Ephesians and the Colossians. He's writing to them, and they're called to respond to this corporately. Not just individually, but corporately. So we're supposed to see this redeeming the time. God has not only something for us individually, but us corporately together. And we're going to be called to steward that together. So time. Time is uncertain, right? Time is unpredictable. There's a couple of scripture verses, I'm not going to go into them, but I will reference them. It's Psalm 90, where the psalmist says that we may have 70 years, maybe even 80 years that we may have. And then there's a parable from Luke chapter 12, where Jesus talks about this guy, this rich man that has all these goods, all this stuff he's harvested. He goes, wait a minute, I got so much, I got to tear down my barns and build bigger ones and fill them up, and I'm just going to take life easy. And then Jesus says in the parable, he says, God comes to the man and says, you fool. Your life is demanded of you today. Who's going to get your stuff? And so here we have these two scripture references talking about 70 or 80 years. Maybe we don't know how many years this rich man had. Maybe 20, 30, 40, we don't know. But there's this uncertainty that we know that life can just stop. It's uncertain. We have no idea how much time we have. It's a gift that we've been given to cherish, and we don't know how long we have. And I was just thinking about this unpredictable, is that in recent years, as we've grown older, me and Nancy, and seeing other people, health issues and circumstances happen in their life is so unpredictable. In a moment, in an instant, it can change. Maybe not that you lose your life, or someone loses their life, but life changes. New limitations come upon us. A health issue also changes things, that we cannot do what we could have done before. Those are some of the things that happen in our life, and so we need to make the most of the time we are given and the abilities that have been handed to us by God as a stewardship. Time is also fleeting. I want to read this one. It's Psalm 39, verse 4 through 5. It says, "Show me, O Lord, my life's end, and the number of my days. Let me know how fleeting is my life." Here's the psalmist realizing how short life is, and he's crying out, "God, help me understand how many days I have, and help me understand how fleeting life is, my own specific life. Help me understand that. You've made my days in your hand's breadth. The span of my years is nothing before you. Each man's life is but a breath." But a breath. The time of life is fleeting. It's just a breath. You ever go outside in the wintertime, you go. And all of a sudden you see this like vapor. And you go, it's gone. That's what the psalmist is saying. Your life is like. It's just there. It's there, and in a moment it's gone. And we have this, it just goes so fast. You know, as we get older, time just is flying by. It's like, and even when we're younger, we may realize it, but we don't realize it. As we get older, we have kids, as things move along, it's like, oh my goodness, time is just fleeting, it's just flying by. And the psalmist here is crying out, help me understand. And it's important for us to cry out to God, help us understand this. That's why this is redeeming the time. How are we going to redeem it if we don't understand its value to us? Time waits for no one. Time waits for no one. It keeps marching on. Anybody ever stand against the clock? Stop! You're like, you're trying to stop it. Like, you're just wishing, like there's like in the Avengers movie I just saw the other day, the guy that got the stone for time. He spins the stone, and all of a sudden time stops. Whoever wants to do that? You wish you could just stop time, because it just seems to be marching on, and it was just like, it's like, no, stop! And that's what time is like. And guess what? With that, we have to understand, we get to spend today once. We get to spend this moment. This is it. It's here. The moment's gone, though. It's gone. We get this little phrase, I forget where I heard it, maybe Doug may know, but it says, we cannot step into the same river twice. It's always moving. It's always changing. It's never the same. We may step back into today, but this Sunday is going to be different from last Sunday. Next Sunday is going to be different from this Sunday. It's never going to be the same. We step into a new moment every moment of our life. It's going to keep marching on. And this opportunity, this moment, this time, right here, we think it's a moment in time, but eternity's here also. We have to understand, we are people of eternity. From another age, living in this moment, and we can experience eternity here and now, too. The thing is, with realizing we only get to spend it once, Many of us, and I'm going to say for myself, and I think most people I know, we live measured lives. We measure, we analyze the risk we're going to put into this, and what's going to be the reward we're going to get out of it. We live that kind of life. We're afraid to make a mistake. We're afraid that we may not do it perfect, and we're afraid how others may think of it, or maybe it may appear that we are a failure, we made this mistake. So we live these measured lives trying to control an outcome. And at the same time, we don't engage an opportunity or a moment in time, and we actually put aside redeeming the moment. That's what happens when we see time as it doesn't wait. It just doesn't wait on us. John Maxwell has a quote that says, "The greatest mistake we make is living in constant fear that we will make one." That we will make one. That's the greatest mistake, that we live that way. See, when the kingdom moment appears, when that season happens to us, they're like treasures in the field. Jesus said there's a treasure in the field. He saw it, and when he found it, he buried it, and went away, sold everything so he could have it. And see, the treasure, well, sometimes we take that treasure as it's God, it's us, yes. But sometimes we need to see there's kingdom treasure. These treasured moments open this time, right? Together here, together. We're here together in this treasured moment that God has handed us to be together with Him. And we can sell all and embrace it, or come and just be nonchalant about it. It's up to us. We have that choice. Are we going to redeem this moment for all it's worth and what God's intended for me and you? We have that choice. God wants us to go all in, risk it all, for the King and His kingdom. The thing is, we can't get time back either. Have you ever not said something or not done something you wish you would have done? You missed that opportunity? Anybody? I know I have. I have a few of them. See, we can't go back in time to those past opportunities. They've come and gone. Those were those moments. We could have bought it or not. We could have stepped into that moment or not. We've all probably done those things. Or even like we can't get back some capabilities. I used to play sports. I can't do that anymore. I can't go back there. That's it. You know, that's a lighthearted thing, is playing sports. But you know what? It limits who I interact with and what I do now. So what do? Is I got to live fully in what I can do. And so what happens is, look, we can't go backwards, but what we can do, we can live now. Right? Right here. This is now. We can live now. We can live present, watching and ready to embrace the moment God does give us in the opportunity we have, with the capabilities we have, enjoying that moment. So time matters. But even if you maybe you've, as I brought that up, maybe some things rattle along around in your head and your heart about past opportunities, past capabilities that you just, you kind of feel like, there's things when I was younger, I squandered time. I realize it now. I just squandered it. Just wasted it. Just thought I had enough time. It wasn't going to matter. And I wasn't wise enough at the time to understand that. And I have some regrets, and I'm sure probably some of us have. Or we wasted abilities, or we wasted capabilities in our life. And I want to say is that this is time to give yourself a mulligan. Anybody know what a mulligan is? Anybody golf? Hit one in the woods? Oh, mulligan time. Pull a ball out. I didn't hit that one. Don't worry about it. You give yourself another try. You give yourself mulligans. This is a day to, you know, he's a friend. God of the broken, friend of the weak, watch the fear of the weary. Sometimes we can weary ourselves with regrets of our missed opportunities. It's a time for God to wash them away. So time matters. Yes, it's uncertain. It's unpredictable. We don't get it back. We don't get to spend it twice. It's gone. But time matters. Those moments matter. They matter for now, just for that gentleman now, but they matter not only for here and now, but for there and then. They matter for the new age also. The next age. See, the world wants us to live just for this current age and try to get the most out of this lifetime. And that's like, this is all we're going to get. That's what the world tries to get us to live by. But as followers of Christ, we're called to live life differently. Called to live this life. Live in this life, in this current age, informed and influenced by the next age. That's what we live by. That's what we live for. That's what influences how we make our decisions, whether we choose to redeem time or not. That's what we're supposed to live by. So time matters. There's a couple of scripture verses I definitely want to read here. There's, I knew this would be a little longer, but bear with me. This is important because it's going to tie into us as a community. Hebrews 11, 8 through 10. I'm just going to read through some of these. These are a couple of examples in the scriptures of people we know of. Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. These are like Jesus, of course. He lived influenced by the next age. He's God, right? Well, there's Abraham and Moses. They were people like us that God used and worked with. And you see how they were influenced by the next. So by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Wow. Sounds like every man. Oh, you guys didn't get that. Not knowing where he was going. Sorry, I had to throw that in there.
We're not going to stop and ask.
By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he was waiting for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. See, he was moving and living his life, being informed by the God and by the city that whose foundation and builder maker is God. And then the next one is by faith Moses. When he became of age, he refused to be called son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he looked to the reward. For he looked toward the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. That's us. We look to the reward. We look to him who's invisible. That's who influences. That's who informs. That's who empowers our decisions. Hebrews 12:2 is Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He saw the joy. He saw the end. He looked beyond the moment. Here, he looked to eternity. We understand it's more than time that matters. It's not just time. It's not just about redeeming time for time's sake. Okay, I've redeemed time. That's not what it's about. It's not about, and I want to share this, is don't go home and say, I got to fill every moment with God stuff. That's not what I'm saying either. Okay, sometimes we hear this and we put pressure, and I don't want you to have pressure on you. This should be a message that is freeing to us. As we move along, I'm sharing some stuff, and we seem feeling like the weight of time, in the sense of pressure, I better do something. But that's not what it's about. It's not about redeeming time for time's sake or putting pressure on ourselves to do something. Or maybe to fill up our time so anytime we have spare time, I better read my Bible. I better pray. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things. We should. But just doing them for the sake of doing them to say I've redeemed that time. And you're doing it to make yourself feel good about it. You're not doing it for the sake of redeeming time for its real purpose. To honor God. You're doing it for yourself to feel good. I'm not saying please don't fall into that trap of the enemy who's going to pull you into pressure you to do those things, and then you're going to miss the moments. Because all you're concerned about is making sure you're doing this stuff of redeeming time. It's not about just redeeming time. The other thing is, it's not about finding and taking up some cause. Because that's the other thing we'll do is that, well, let's go find a good cause. And we'll give ourselves and our energy to that. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing to do. But do it if God is directing you to do it. God ordained. See, it's not about taking up a cause. It's about taking up a cross. That's what it's about. It's about dying to our own striving, our own dreaming, our own initiative to make things happen and become something for ourselves. It's about dying to ourselves and actually taking up God's dream, the Father's heart. That's what I mean about redeeming time, because we can spend all our time doing stuff we think is good, but we're not doing what God's called us to do in the moments He sees and sets in front of us. And that's important for us to do. See, it's not about just doing some work for God, it's about doing work with God. It's about working with Him, it's about being partners together, it's about us together. See, this corporate thing, it's about being together with each other and with God, working what He's doing and joining Him. Jesus did not come doing his own thing. Read that in John chapter 5. He didn't try to just do something good. It says he watched what the Father was doing, and then he joined him all the time. He said he couldn't do anything on his own. In fact, he refused to do anything on his own. He only did what the Father was doing. But we also see as Jesus made sure he took time to be with his Father every day. Relationship with him. And that enabled him to see what the Father was doing, to know the Father, and to join him. And he would bring eternity into moments of time. See, people became the real treasure. Time is a treasure for us. But people are the treasure. And God sets up moments for people to encounter God. God valued people enough that he stepped from eternity into a moment in time so he could have us for all time. To have us for all time. And guess what? Jesus right now is looking to step into time right now with us. Through us, in the people's lives, in every moment of our day. He's looking to step into time again. And if we're going to catch God's heart and join him in what he's doing, there's something we have to do to redeem the moments in time. And this is the place of freedom, is that we need to take time to be with the Father. Because otherwise we're just going to be pursuing doing things. It's about relationship. Jesus said, come follow me, be with me. And see, it's the same way. See, he spent time with the Father. And so we spend time with God. We build a relationship with him. We start to know him. We start to know his ways, His purposes, His very being. And we start to experience more and more of who He is. And then we start to see, from that, we start to see the moments that are His, that He lines up. And then we can then embrace those moments, and then we can redeem the time, because it's a time that He set up. It's an appointed moment in time that He has set for us. But if we chase after filling the time, we'll never see Him, and we'll never find Him, and we'll never be able to see those moments He's divinely setting up. It's important for us to take time with Him. Our relationship, I was just thinking about this. I'm going to try to put in words. I'm just going to read it here. It is what our relationship with God is supposed to be like. A relationship with the Father is supposed to be more than just learning information about Him. Not that learning information is bad, but it's more than that. It's more than going to meetings. It's more than doing the religious duties and religious things. It's supposed to be this interactive, dynamic relationship in life and lifestyle with our King, where His kingdom and His interaction with us is interwoven into every area of our life. It's like it becomes like intertwined. It's like all the fibers of our life are intertwined and interwoven with Him. Our relations, our connection to Him. And then our life is integrated into this eternal partnership with the Father and with the church, our brothers and sisters. And it's alive with expectation and with wonder and joy. That's what it's supposed to be like. We should come with such expectation. We should live life with such expectation in relationship with our God, and have this lifestyle that we know He's bringing us into every moment. That's what it's supposed to be like. Are we there? I can't say I am, but I know that's where He wants to take me. I know that's where He wants to take you. He wants to take us, that we live in such relationship and lifestyle with Him, that we're connected to Him like that. I have to close. Oh. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time of God's favor. That's the last scripture verse that's there. Now is the time. There's this sense, like we're talking about this. This is part of the thing. We have to work towards recovering the sense of urgency and value of moments. We have lost it. And see, back in the first scripture I read in Colossians chapter 4 and in Ephesians chapter 5, one of the things Paul said, he asked the people, he says, can you pray for the open door so I can speak the word? And then in Ephesians he says, the days are evil. And in these two contexts, you see that he's saying, we need this open door. But at the same time, there's this conflict going on between the kingdom of God and the dominion of Satan, who's working to thwart the open door, looking to thwart the redeeming of those moments God has dialed up for us. So this is war is going on, and what happened, he works, he can't take us from God. But what he does, he wants to dilute this sense of urgency, this sense of awareness of the now moment. And he uses a variety of tactics and weapons that he uses at his disposal all the time. A lot of them connect with our thinking, trying to dilute the way we approach life. And there's a couple, I'm just going to read a couple off, but there's more here. There's busyness. Anybody ever been too busy? Oh, okay, I'm not the only one. What happens, you get so busy, you miss things. Or fatigue because we're too busy. Or striving after titles, positions, power, riches. Those things dilute our sense of urgency for God stuff. Or we have our plans. This is a big one for me. I'm going to Home Depot. Get out of my way. I got to get my thing and I got to go home. What happens, we have our agendas. That's the word. He uses agendas and gets us in this mindset that we miss the moments on the side of us that we're there prepared for us to be a part of. Fear of rejection, fear of failure, age, health. Another big one, family ties, family opinions, family expectations on us. They influence us. Their regrets, as I mentioned before. There's many others. But the invite goes out. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the time of God's favor. If you've been missing things, if you've been losing that sense of urgency, now, right now. He said, now is the time of salvation. Now is the time for adjustment and decisions. Now, not tomorrow, not next week. Well, after New Year's, don't worry about it. I'm not worried about it. God's presenting it to us. I know I'm having to respond to God myself personally. And I want to challenge you guys. This is a God moment. He's pressing on us the reality of time. The reality of that we have been given this gift and this stewardship. To realize the things that have been trying to steal the urgency and the value of the moments God has called us to. Both individually and corporately. Recognize them. Not beat yourself up over them, but let's go back to the Father and spend time with Him. Be refreshed. Let, as Glenda spoke to, if you feel you're carrying that weight, hear the words of the Lord. He's God of the broken, friend of the weary, washes the feet of the weary. Let Him wash the weariness of those regrets off you. And now let's embrace what God may be having for us, individually and corporately. It's a moment of time for us to do that. Don't be a spectator anymore. Be a participant in God moments. It's a decision to make now. And I want to encourage you as we go into this new year. I've been pondering, one of the things I've pondered, what is this new season, this new God appointment that God has for Living Gate? I'm going to challenge everyone here. That's not just my responsibility. If you feel this is a part of your home, who you're, where you're supposed to be, you're called to take that responsibility and say, God, what do you want us to be doing here? Help us to see what you have for us. Help us to embrace what you're calling us to. So I want to encourage you in the next few weeks, the next month, spend time with the Father asking that specific those things. And so and I want, but I'm encouraged, don't just ask Him. When God does give you something, share them with me. I want to hear them. Because I know God speaks to me and I know God speaks to you. I heard that on Christmas Eve when I asked people to share, I saw God was speaking to people. God's speaking to you too. If you're going to ask Him to show you, He's going to show you. And I'm going to expect that there's going to be some of you going to see things and hear things. Bring them to me and let's talk about them. And we'll be, that'll be a part of us, what we pray together. We're called to see the moment, the season that God has. Us together are called to see that. It's a partnership with each other and with God. Now is the time of salvation. Now is the time of God's favor for us together as a community. Let's pray.